See. Yeah, there you are. Hi, everyone. Oh, come on. Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, there we go. You're awake. Good. Hey, guys, thank you so much for leading us in worship. And Catelyn, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Doesn't he have great energy? Right? I need some of that. He somehow thinks he's old, but he's not. Anyway, I'm old. Sort of, not really. Anyway, well, I'm just really excited to be able to be here with you and share this morning and to talk more into our series that we've been doing deeper. And later on, we're going to hand out some more of these cards. So if you didn't get one of these over the last couple weeks, I'd really encourage you during our communion time to pick one up on the sides. And on it is a perforation. And if you want to just write your name and email on here and hand it in to me after, I'd love to get this. Because what we're doing every week, if you've been checking your emails, is sending you some encouraging things and things that you can practically do in your life to walk deeper in your relationship with God. And so at the end, make sure you get one of these if you haven't already. Well, today I'm going to talk about our roots. And I want to talk with you about going deeper in our relationship with God by way of looking at our roots. So May 1945 is best known for the end of World War II in Poland with the surrender of the Germans. It was a six-year bloody war battle that left nations reeling in destruction, in devastation, in poverty, and in chaos. My heritage is actually Polish and Italian, and May 1945 holds some significance for me in my life, but probably not for the reasons that you might think. It was actually in May of this year that my dad was born in Poland. Now, growing up, I actually didn't hear a lot about my dad's life, about his childhood. I would hear little snippets here and there, tidbits of mischief and definitely of hardship. But there weren't long, lengthy conversations about my father's childhood. He came to Canada and immigrated here when he was 13 years old. And as a child, I wanted to visit Poland myself. I wanted to explore and see what it was all about. And I would often ask my grandma, who I called Bubba, if she'd ever like to go back for a visit. In fact, there were even times as a child I would write letters to Santa Claus at Christmas time, and I would ask him for money so I could send my Bubba, my dad, and his brother back to Poland for a visit. It's true. I used to write Santa these letters. But my innocence did not allow me to pick up the reality that my dad had no interest in ever going back to Poland. In fact, it was not anywhere on his list of things to do in his life. You see, our family histories are significant. And you and I each have an instinctual longing to know more about our roots, about our history, and to feel connected in some way to those around us. In fact, our society today indicates how important it is for you and I to feel connected. So we have these really popular DNA testing things like Ancestry.com and 23andMe. Have any of you ever done those? Some of you, a couple. I know people who give this out for birthday presents and Christmas presents, right? I'm like, what? But it's true. We have these in our society today, and it shows us how important it is for us to feel connected in some way to our history, to our family, to our roots. It gives us a better understanding. Our family history allows us to look back in order to better understand who we are today. In fact, psychologists have a name for it. It's called FOO. Family of origin. Some of you psychology majors would know this, counselors in the room. So the reality is that no family is perfect. In fact, all of our families carry with them some level of dysfunction, relational interactions that do not work very well. Our family of origin is much more than just our roots and where we come from. It's actually the very thing that shapes us and shapes our identity and our understanding of relational connection, how we communicate with one another, and in fact, how we interact with those around us. It is, in fact, our learned behaviors that we are both aware of and unaware of that you and I actually replicate every day in our lives as we interact with those around us. Now, Joseph's life is talked about at length in the Old Testament book of Genesis, and his family history certainly had some dysfunction in it. That is, until one day when Joseph used the patterns of his past and he chose to end them with a deliberate choice by showing love and forgiveness rather than revenge. Joseph was able to lead his family deeper into their story in hopes of showing them God's goodness. Genesis 45 says this, come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me. You see, in order for us to fully embrace the healing he desires to bring to our lives, we must first look back and identify some of the emotional, relational, and spiritual baggage of our lives that is simply passed down from generation to generation. As I said earlier, we're in a series right now called Deeper, where we're exploring how we can go deeper in our relationship with God and with others. The past couple weeks, we've spoken about repentance and confession, which is this idea of turning ourselves towards God. It's a posture of positioning ourselves before Him. And today, we're going to explore what it means to look back in order to move forward and discover how you and I can actually go deeper with God in our faith. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you that even in the midst of our flawed relationships, you meet us. In spite of our histories and the things that we choose to do, you use us. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would bring to our minds those things in our life that are family patterns that we need to submit to you. And so would you open our minds and hearts today, and would you guide us in this journey to go deeper with you? Amen. Well, some of you might be familiar with this dysfunctional family from the late 90s. It was a very funny show called Everybody Loves Raymond. Anybody familiar with these guys? Yeah, a few of you? Okay, maybe I'm a little bit old. All right. Anyway, Everybody Loves Raymond was a great family sitcom, but it was a family that really displayed a lot of dysfunction. In fact, Raymond's a really great guy, but he was definitely the favorite child of the home. And so we're going to have a look at a bit of their family interactions here, so you guys can go ahead and play the video.
There he is. There's my boy.
You two like to be alone?
So, Raymond, 3 more days before your birthday, huh? You getting excited?
Yeah, 1 year closer to looking like this.
Well, just make sure I can find you at 8:46 to give you your birth minute kiss.
You always find me, Ma.
But don't be in the shower this time. That was awkward.
Ma, how about this picture of me at my first birthday party, huh?
Oh, yes. Look, you're so adorable.
Yeah, big smile, face full of cake, so happy. You weren't around yet.
There was no party. We just smeared chocolate on your face and took the picture.
What you talking about, Ma?
Well, you see, their little babies really don't have any idea it's their birthday.
They're too dumb.
So we took a picture so we'd have something to show you when you got older.
What about this picture of Raymond on his first birthday? Looks like he's having a party.
Well, of course, Raymond had a party.
What?
Let me tell you what I learned about children, dear. See, with the first one, you might make a couple of mistakes. But if you're sensitive, you don't make the same ones with the second child.
Well, it's a little bit funny to be sure. Maybe you can even find yourself in this clip. Everybody Loves Raymond was a great show, and obviously we see the favored child, Raymond, who was doted on by his mother. But there's lots of things in this clip. We obviously see the beloved child, but we also see some family dynamics and relationships happening here. We see sarcasm as a way of communication. We see a bit of comparison, some sibling jabs. We obviously see a doting mother. Maybe some of you have experienced this in your own lives. And we also see her offer justifications for past actions or perhaps inactions. You know, it's true. All of us have dysfunctions in our family that are on myriads of levels. But the truth is, we each have to come to a point in our own journey that we choose to take the time to actually look at our pasts, to understand where we've come from, and to work to connect the dots of our past in order to understand our present. We have each been shaped by those who have raised us. In fact, just hearing the words family dysfunction may conjure up unwelcome emotions for some of us in this room today. Some of you here might have been raised by well-meaning parents who have intentionally put some pretty high expectations on you towards academic achievement or perhaps a successful financial career. Perhaps you've been conditioned to climb your way to the top. No matter who you step on the way, it doesn't matter. But it's possible that you have climbed your way successfully to the top. Or perhaps family dysfunction for you looks like silence. Maybe that means that it has been lack of communication by not engaging in difficult conversations. Maybe you're here today and in your family, you feel like you have not been seen or heard. Each of us have some level of family dysfunction that we have been exposed to by our families. That much is true. In fact, some of you here today might have experienced abuse or trauma in your family, and that's not okay. So I want you to take a moment right now to place yourself in your family and to sit with some of your experiences. Now, this is not easy to do, I know that. But I'm praying and asking that God would allow you to have these experiences in mind as we work through this message today. A few months ago, I spoke about the life of Joseph and how God actually rewrote Joseph's story. Now, Joseph's family was actually characterized by years of dysfunction. There was brokenness, lies, deceit, and even family tragedy. Joseph's father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and even his great-great-grandfather all engaged in acts of lying, secrecy, and jealousy. And Joseph's brothers followed in the exact same patterns as the generations before him. They also came to a place of selling Joseph as a slave, and then they lied to their father to cover up their actions and allow him to believe that his beloved son was dead. In fact, Joseph's own family was very complex. His father, Jacob, had married two sisters, and between them, there was a lot of jealousy, you can only imagine. There was deceit, and there were lies in their family, and it was full of messy, broken relationships that resulted in two additional women coming into Joseph's life. That's four women and 12 sons. That's a little bit messy, a little bit complex for sure. Well, Joseph was actually the favorite son from the favorite wife. A little bit like Raymond, maybe. So you can only imagine the strain it added to the family dynamics. Then, to top it all off, at a young age, Joseph actually lost his mother while she was in childbirth with his brother Benjamin. And now his brothers hated him even more. He would soon find himself losing his country, his culture, his language, his entire family, and so much more. In fact, jealousy dominated this family. And when the opportune moment came, Joseph's brothers acted on their rage and decided to get rid of him. In fact, they had plotted to kill him, but their plans changed when they suddenly realized they could actually make money off of selling Joseph. And so they did just that. That represents two generations, Jacob and Joseph. But it goes back even further. Jacob deceived his own father, Isaac, in an elaborate scheme to steal his brother's inheritance, his birthright. He disguised himself and pretended to be his brother to steal that blessing. Going back another generation, you have Isaac, who lied and used deceit to protect himself. He lied about his wife and his own life to protect himself and said that his wife was actually his sister. Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because Abraham, Isaac's father, years earlier did exactly the same thing. He lied to Pharaoh about his wife and said that it was his sister, and he did it to protect himself and to cover up. Now, I understand that this is many years of family history that I've really tightly condensed here, but it's very clear for us to see that in these generations, there is a lot of family patterns and brokenness that have set in place here. There are systems that have been established and rooted into this family. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, four generations, we see broken relationships, we see deception, we see relational dysfunction and unhealthy patterns. Yet can I tell you something really cool? Each of these men strive to honor God with their lives, and God was still faithful to use them and their family lineage and their story. You see, our family systems form and shape us, and how we were raised impacts us. Psychologists tell us it's actually at least the past three generations of our lives that influence us today and how we interact in relationships in our families. Now, a couple of weeks ago, my friend Esther and I were talking, and she shared with me a quote from Henry Nouwen, a well-known Catholic priest and author, about family systems, and he had this to say: given the chance, the enemy of our souls would delight in using our practice as remembrance as a fresh opportunity to repeat the lies that we are unloved and unlovable. You and I carry baggage with us from our families, and oftentimes it's on repeat in the back of our minds, whether we're conscious of it or not. Those feelings of inadequacy, those feelings of woundedness. In my conversation with Esther, she went on to say this: we each have experiences in our families that have built us up and have wounded us. In light of that, we often create very complex defense systems that rob us of engaging in vulnerable and authentic community with one another. And this holds us back from maturing as Christians and from flourishing in our lives. Such wisdom and such truth, and yet it's not easy to hear that nor read that. We each have complex defense systems that we have created, whether knowingly or unknowingly, in our lives that hold us back from flourishing in our lives because they become patterns that we pass down from generation to generation. You see, God's desire is that we go deeper with Him. And in order to go deeper, we need to be honest with the patterns in our lives. Just as we have mannerisms or quirky traits that we pass on from generation to generation, we also pass on behaviors and mindsets, things that we have learned that we then replicate in our own lives. Sometimes they're great, and other times they're unhealthy things. So a message like this can't be written without myself having to look a little bit at my own family history and things that have gone on in my life. And I won't share all that with you today, but I do want to share with you some more of my story and a little bit of my journey. It was Father's Day in June 1991, and I had gotten into my parents' car to head off to church for an evening service. And as I sat in the back of the room, the pastor was speaking, and then he went on to ask people to stand up and share about their dads. So I sat there and I thought about my dad, I thought about my life, and then I stopped and really thought about my dad and his childhood. And it was in that moment I had a revelation that I had actually never really grasped before. You see, I told you my dad was born in Poland in May 1945, but just months before he was born, his father was killed. So my grandfather never got to meet his son. And it was in that moment I realized for the first time, wow, my dad never had a dad. And here he is doing his best with my mom to raise my brother and I. And I realized for the first time in my life, my dad had never really had that in his life. He never knew what it meant to be a father because he had never had that present in his own life. And it woke within me a great appreciation for my dad, but also another level of clarity and understanding. The closest thing he had to a role model was his older brother, but he never had a father. And I actually found myself standing in that service and sharing this new profound revelation, and obviously my deep appreciation for what my dad was doing in raising us. Because for all the times in my life that he wasn't meeting my flawed expectations, he was actually doing something he had never done before, and he was actually doing something and paving a new way that he himself had never known. Peter Scazzaro, in his book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, shares the importance of taking the time to understand our family of origin and how it shapes us. He says this: the problem is that few of us have reflected honestly on the impact of our families of origin and other major earthquake events in our histories. This is a hard one to do because it requires us to be brutally honest with things that are going on in our families. And sometimes, most times, we don't like to talk about those things. Looking back at our past is not an easy thing to do. And there are helpful tools that help us to map out some of these relational things in our lives, and it's called a genogram. Some of you might be familiar with this, others this might be new, but it allows us to explore unhealthy and healthy relationships within our families, sometimes between parents, sometimes between parents and their siblings, between grandparents and child, between a parent and a child. Now, this might look a little messy, but this is an example of a genogram, and if you're interested, I just ask you to take your phone out and take a picture so you can go to genopro.com and work on this. But a genogram is unlike a family tree. A family tree maps out your lineage. A genogram takes it a step further and allows you to put language to the relationships of your families, whether that's a divorce or whether there has been a death in the family, whether that's been a combative relationship between two people, whether that's an estranged relationship where people don't talk in your family anymore, whether there's been divorce, whether there's been remarriage or blended families. These are all really important things for us to understand the relational dynamics in order for us to better understand ourselves. And so on this website, there's a lot of different tools in there to help you to figure out and to identify what those relationships are. Because it's really important for us to understand those dynamics so that we can bring God into our story and to learn how to change some of those habitual patterns that we replicate in our everyday relationships. See, the truth is, there is no perfect family. Despite what we might see in the movies and on TV, our families are messy. They are not perfect. Nobody has a perfect family. Scazzaro goes on to say that our families and traumatic events in our histories often hand us negative messages or scripts that unconsciously direct our lives. This is why it is so important to look back on things, to work to understand so we can identify things in our immediate lives that we consciously or probably more so unconsciously replicate in our everyday relationships. A few weeks ago, Pastor Ken made reference to lifequake situations, moments that shake our foundation and maybe cause us to change our priorities. And there is no doubt that Joseph himself found him in several lifequake moments, one being the day his brothers showed up in Egypt, many, many years after selling him. They came to look for food during a time of famine to take back to their family. You see, Joseph immediately knew who his brothers were, but his brothers had no idea who they were standing in front of. They had no idea that they were standing in front of the one that they had betrayed. See, your family is supposed to be a place of safety, but Joseph's family was the farthest thing from his safe place. And maybe you can relate with that this morning. It may be that way in your own life. Your family, whether you like it or not, represent your roots. Now, you may not have the most healthy relationships in your family, but your family is just that. You may have divided and broken relationships in your home right now, and your family of origin have laid a foundation that has been grafted into your life, and your family has influenced you in some way. Maybe due to hurts in your family, you've found it difficult to actually trust people. Or perhaps you've come from a blended family where you've seen favoritism played out many times, and it has done nothing but anger you and made you feel isolated from your family. Or perhaps you've walked away from your family and you're currently estranged from them. That happens a lot in our society. Reality is there are many different family dynamics at play in our lives, and none of them are perfect. But you see, when we come into the family of God, he asks us to specifically look at those past relationships, to understand them, to identify them, to find forgiveness, or perhaps even offer forgiveness, and to make a decision to walk differently. Joseph came face to face with the opportunity to make a difference. And rather than take revenge on his brothers, he actually chose to show them God's goodness in this situation. He had spent years separated from his family, and his father was left believing that he was dead. Now, in this moment of reconciliation, Joseph knew the deception of his brothers, and rather than lash out them on revenge, he wanted to change the pattern of his family. He confronts them. With tears in his eyes, he openly grieves before them, and this is what he says in verse 45 in Genesis. He says, come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed his brothers and he wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. You see, in this moment, Joseph partnered with God to be a blessing to his family of origin. Rather than take revenge, he chose to honor and bless the very family that betrayed him. And you and I have been given the same opportunities in our lives to partner with God in how we interact with our past, our history, and how we choose to trust God and walk with him. You see, Joseph in this moment approached his brothers. In fact, earlier in Genesis, when he realized that these were his brothers, the word tells us that he wept so loud that everybody in the palace could hear him. And I think perhaps for the first time, Joseph actually allowed himself to grieve this significant loss in a public way. I'm not saying this is what we need to do, but I am saying this. He chose in that moment to actually feel the grief and the loss that he had experienced. And rather than attacking his brothers with rage and anger, he comes to them with compassion and brokenness. And in this moment, Joseph opened a door. And this is significant. He opened a door to bring healing to his family. I bet maybe perhaps for the first time, Joseph's brothers, maybe for the first time ever, they were actually able to feel the grief of what they had done. They lived squashing down in silence the deception that they had let their dad know that Joseph was dead. Whereas in fact, they knew he wasn't dead at all. They knew what they had done. But isn't it true in our lives we do things and then we try and hide it and we bury it and we push it down farther? But Joseph in this moment broke open the door to lead his family into wholeness and healing. And he broke the chains of the past by saying, no more, I'm going to expose what you wanted to hide. And I'm not going to take revenge on you, but rather I'm going to show you God's goodness. So even in the midst of this tragic situation, even in the midst of your lies and deceits, I'm going to show you God's goodness. And that's what Joseph did in this moment. It's a beautiful picture of what God asks us to do in our lives. But please understand, this is not easy to do. Sometimes we need to journey this with professional people and counselors, spiritual directors in our lives, because digging into the stuff of our past is messy and it's complicated. And yet I want you to hear this morning. God says, I will walk there with you. If you trust me, I will lead you. If you walk with me, I will show you how to do this, how to bring healing, not just to yourself and not just to past generations, but understand this. God wants to bring healing in your life now from situations and family sins and family things that are patterns that are dysfunctional and unhealthy in order for you to set the future generations into motion. Your life is not just about yourself. It's still about what is yet to come. And that's what God wants to do in our lives to bring healing. We function as a product of how we were raised. Our conditioning most often tells us that we're loved and valued by what we do rather than who we are. Scazzaro goes on to say that our fear of bringing secrets and sin into the light drives many people to prefer the illusion that if they don't think about it, it somehow goes away. It doesn't. Unhealed wounds open us up to habitual sin against God and others. We all do this in our families. We all try to ignore the awkward elephant in the room. We just came back from Christmas. How many of you had awkward? Don't answer it. How many of you actually had awkward family situations? You're just going, I wish I wasn't here right now. Right? We all have those things in our lives and our families, and we choose not to address them. We choose not to look at our histories because it seems a lot easier if we just ignore it and walk away. But my friends, that is not what God is in the business of doing. He is in the business of taking us to those places in order to bring healing and resolution and freedom and hope and to change the future generations of your lineage through you. That is the good news. Famed psychologist and shame researcher Brené Brown says this about our family of origin and their influence on us. She says, when we deny the story, it defines us. But when we own the story, we can write a new, brave ending. And in fact, I think it can go a step further. Because when we own our story, it really opens up the way for God's healing to come into our lives, allowing us to grow deeper and experience healthy relationships with God and with others. Now, I shared with you earlier that my father had no intentions of ever returning and visiting Poland. But 7 years ago, I had a conversation with my dad, and I asked him, Dad, would you ever be willing to go to Poland just to go back with Rick and I, my brother and I? And he sat there and thought for a moment, and he said to me, he's like, you really sure you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, totally want to go. And so with that, a number of months later, and hear this, 55 years after my father left Poland, the three of us set out on a journey that still to this day I find very difficult to put into words. That's my family. That's my dad, Mike, and my brother, Rick. It was by far one of the greatest gifts of my life. I was actually transported into the childhood of my father, and I saw life through his eyes. We did fun things and hard things on this trip. We stepped into the atrocities of Auschwitz and Birkenau, and we searched to find the comfort foods of his childhood. And the day had arrived. We were to drive to his old village, Valim. He came here when he was 2 years old. We had no idea what to expect as we headed back into this unknown territory. Armed with a simple picture of his childhood home and a mind full of vivid memories, we set out. The first thing Dad recognized was the big tree in the center of town. And from there, we made our way past old rundown factories that were dilapidated, his old schoolhouse that was now boarded up, and his old Catholic church where he served as an altar boy. We spent the next couple days walking for hours, talking and listening to stories my dad shared with us that he had never actually uttered before in his life. It was the first time ever he had shared these things. We came to his home and were able to meet the family that currently lives there, and they invited us in. And in those moments, I saw and experienced a part of my dad I had never, ever known before. That trip took all the things that I didn't understand about my dad and brought such clarity. And with that, I didn't need to question the reason why he was the way he was anymore. There were so many things that now made sense to me. I cannot speak for my dad, but I would venture to say that there was a sense of healing that came to his heart and his life through that trip. A time to look at the past for what it was, a time to see the faithfulness of God in his life and to see where he is today. But I can speak to this. I know for me as a daughter, I found healing. I now had a better understanding of why it was so difficult for my dad to actually talk about his childhood. He grew up in a village that used to be a concentration camp. I hadn't realized the trauma and pain of my dad's life and how it had actually impacted me. My story now had a deeper connection and actual meaning. And God used that experience to show me things in my own life. And I gained a greater understanding and appreciation for where I had come from. Together, the three of us shared in authentic and vulnerable conversations that we had never shared like this before. I found myself in moments of deep connection with my dad and brother, and we shared a newfound bonded experience. It opened up my life to understand actually where I get my fierce independence from and to realize my daily need to trust in God and rely on his guidance in my life and not my own. The roots of my Bubba and her very difficult journey, my father's life, and the influence of their experiences on my own life are now what I actually pass on to my children. Looking back on our past is not easy. It's hard work, and it requires us to do so in community with those around us. We all have some level of dysfunction in our families, but the greatest gift God gives us within our family is to see things as they are and to know that there is a different way forward. We need to put in the work to understand our complex defense systems and to recognize the need to move forward into authentic and vulnerable relationships with God and others. We need to work to offer grace to those who have gone before us, who were simply just trying their best, who were broken and hurting themselves, and to recognize that our family story is part of our root system, but it's not the entirety of our own story or experiences. We have to look back in our lives in order to move forward, forward into healing and wholeness. Even the most painful experiences we face are part of our story. Just like Joseph's betrayal, turning into the ability to save Egypt in a time of famine, and he also used it to restore relationship with his own family. Joy comes in knowing that God has a plan for the pain. And when we are a part of his family, we have the ability to choose what we want to keep, what we don't want to repeat, and then bring those healthy things into the next generation. My prayer is as you take time in your own life to reflect and to look back on your past, to identify areas of relational family brokenness, unhealth, lifequake situations, and unresolved pain, that you'll find a better understanding of yourself, and more importantly, that you will be the agent of change in your own family and launch the coming generations of your lineage into a new way of doing life with God's perspective, valuing your roots and knowing that in looking back, you have the ability to move forward. Our families are complex. They're not all cookie cutters. Each of us in this room have different dynamics that are very real to you right now. Some of you might not know how to go back and fix things. Some of it's just far too heavy of a burden to carry. But this is what I want you to know today. This is what God does. In his gentleness, he guides us. He shows us things. He gives us the ability to find healing and restoration and wholeness. And he guides us into a new way of living. He shows us what healthy relationships are like by his word, by going deeper in our relationship with him. This week, we're going to be sending out an email, if you filled out the deeper card, that has more ways in which you can find people to talk to, even about your family history. Spiritual directors are people that can walk with us to help identify some of those things. And so we're going to partake of communion here in just a moment. And as we do, like I said earlier, I want you to be able to grab one of these cards if you haven't already and to fill out the bottom. And then just find me after the service and give me the bottom. Because I really want you to have these resources in your hand. It's a way for you to practically take the messages that we talk about on Sunday and actually apply it in your life a little bit more. The Genogram, again, is a great way to do that. But together in community, we want to journey our relationship deeper with God and with others. And so I'm going to ask you, if you haven't, just to do that this morning. And then we're going to come to the table of communion. So I'm going to ask our servers to come forward. The table of communion is a time where we actually take a moment to pause and reflect on the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. God's family is a beautiful thing, but we're flawed people. But we get to come to this table as we are. And when we do, we get to partake of the emblems. The bread represents his body that was broken for you and I. That God said, I'm going to give you my son. And he's going to give his life so that you can have freedom and healing and wholeness and health. So that you can find freedom for your own families. And his blood was shed on that cross that day for you and I to open up the way to have actual relationship with him. God's word shows us what real relationship is like, what authentic relationship is like. And that's what you and I are being called and being invited into, authentic, true, deeper relationship with him. And so this morning, as you come to partake of communion, I want you to think about those relationships. I want you to think about your relationship with him and what it means for you to choose to go deeper in your own story and in your own life, to find wholeness and freedom and to move forward, knowing that you have the ability to change the patterns of your family, of your life, and go forward with his grace and his mercy and his goodness. So as we come, I'm going to pray, and then we just ask that you go out the side aisles and back up the middle into your row. And so let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you that we are grafted into your family, that you set a new standard for us to know what family looks like. And as we come to partake of communion today, I ask that you would speak to our hearts and minds, that as we engage with remembering what you have done for us, that we would find that wholeness inside and that freedom. I pray this morning that as we think about our families, for those here whose hearts are heavy this morning with brokenness in their own family relationships, I pray that we would know we can bring it to the foot of the cross, to give it to you and to ask you for a way forward, to bring healing and wholeness. And so God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, that we could know freedom. Amen. Mm-hmm.